Será? Moet ek herhaal? En dan die laaste is die kerkraad met diakens vergader as die Here wil Dinsdag aand om 7:30 by die kerk. Voor ons begin net by dit warm welcome to Brother Refilwe. Thanks for leading the sermon today. Ek sal die eerste deel doen tot na die skrif gelesing gedeelte. Gemeente, laat ons ons harte tot God verhef en staande sy seëngroet ontvang. Ons erken ons hulp is in die naam van die Here wat hemel en aarde gemaak het. Genade vir ons, vir julle en vrede van hom wat is en wat was en wat kom, en van die sewe geeste wat voor sy troon is, en van Jesus Christus, die getroue getuie, die eersgebore uit die dode en die owerste oor die konings van die aarde. Amen. As antwoord lied op die Here se seëngroet, sing ons saam Psalm 31 verse 5, 15 en 17. Gemeente, kom ons gaan na die Here en ons vra sy seën oor die erediens. O almagtige God, Heer, wat 'n voorreg om U onsse Vader te mag noem, 'n Vader wat omgee, 'n Vader wat sy kinders voed, so ervaar ons dit ook elke Sondag. Heer, ons het so nodig vir die week wat kom, en ons dankie vir hierdie die woord wat U vir ons gee, ons dankie vir hierdie lewende verhouding wat ons met U mag hê. Mag ons ook reageer daarop in gehoorsaamheid, mag ons ook reageer daarin gebed en so met u praat, Heer, want u het met ons gepraat. Heer, ons vra u seën oor die erediens vanavond. Ons vra, mag ons luister, mag ons verstaan. Versterk asseblief die prediker. Heer, ons dank u ook vir die skooljaar wat weer begin mag woensdag. Sal u ook daar wees met al die kindertjies en die ouers, deur die opgewondenheid en ook die onsekerheid wat daar mag wees. Heer, ons dank u vir die voorregte en al die lewensdinge wat u oor ons pad bring, wat ons laat groei en waar ons kan sien hoe u sorg. Ons vra ook sterkte vir die graad 12, die matriek van verlede jaar, wat hierdie dinsdag hulle uitslae ontvang. Dit is baie bepalend vir hulle toekoms. Heer, en ons vra ook vir die gemoedere daar en die versterking. Heer, ons vra vir 'n gesonde gebedslewe. Heer, ons vra dat ons u opdra in al ons besluite, in al ons dade. En mag ons so wandel met u elke dag in vrees en gehoorsaamheid en u mag geniet in alle omstandighede. Ons bid hierdie Heer alleen nie uit genade nie, maar alleen in die wonderlike naam van ons verlosser, Jesus Christus. Amen. Gemeente, ons skrifgedeelte, eerste deel, is uit Numeri 33, vanaf vers 50 tot einde van die hoofdstuk 56. Ons lees saam met die woord. En die Heere het met Moses gespreek in die vlaktes van Moab, by die Jordaan van Jericho, en gesê, spreek met die kinders van Israel en sê vir hulle, as julle deur die Jordaan in die land Kanaan intrek, moet julle al die bewoners van die land voor julle uitverdrywe en hulle beeldhouwerk verniel. Ook moet julle al hulle gegote beelde verniel en al hulle hoogtes verwoes. En julle moet die land in besit neem en daarin woon, want ek het die land aan julle gegee om dit te besit. En julle moet die land deur die lot as erfdeel verwerwe volgens julle geslagte. Vir die wat baie is, moet julle hulle erfdeel groot maak, en vir die wat min is, moet julle hulle erfdeel klein maak. Waar die lot vir iemand val, moet dit sy deel wees. Volgens julle vaderlike stamme, moet julle dit as erfdeel verwerwe. Maar as julle die bewoners van die land nie voor julle uitverdrywe, nie, sal dit wat julle van hulle laat oorbly, soos dorings in julle oë wees en soos angels in julle sye, en hulle sal julle beveg in die land waar julle inwoon. En soos ek gedink het om aan hulle te doen, sal ek aan julle doen. Ons sing nou eers Psalm 81 verse 1, 11 en 15.
congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I greet you all in the wonderful name of our Lord. Our text for this evening comes from the book of Judges, chapter 2. I'm going to read from verses 1 through verse 7. The angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I brought you out of Egypt and led you into the land I saw to give to your ancestors. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall not make a covenant with the people of this land, but you shall break down their altars. Yet you have disobeyed me. Why have you done this? And I have also said, I will not drive them out before you. They will become traps for you, and their gods will come snares to you. When the angel of the Lord had spoken these things to all the Israelites, the people wept aloud, and they called the place Bochim. There they offered sacrifices to the Lord. After Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to their own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him, who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, we ask that you may apply this word in our hearts. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to begin my sermon this evening by asking you this question. Have you ever been generous to someone, or maybe sacrificed all that you have to make someone happy? It could have been maybe your spouse, it could have been a member of your family, or your children, or maybe even your friends. Sometimes people go out of their way just to make other people happy, but then what happens when the same people that you try to be generous to turn against you and take your kindness for granted? How do you feel when those kind of things happen? There's a story of a young man who experienced homelessness at a very tender age, about 10 years old. His mother and his father left him on the streets when he was still young. And then a poor family, a kind family, took him in, and they treated him as one of their own children. They gave him a better education, and then through their support, he managed to finish school, and then he finally ended up working in one of the prominent companies in South Africa. But then, after getting the job, what happened was that when the family that raised him tried to seek help from him, when they tried to get support from him, he turned against them, and he tried by all means to avoid them. And then he forgot all the kindness and all the love and everything that they had done for him. He forgot all the things that he experienced in that family, even though they didn't have any right. They were not obligated to raise him, but then out of love, they did that. And then they turned all their kindness by showing them ungratefulness, ingratitude. It was a very tragic story, and then I think you can relate to that. Sometimes as people, we tend to forget the kindness that other people show us. And this is exactly the same kind of thing that we do the way we respond when it comes to the kindness and the faithfulness that God shows us all the time. Our passage this evening summarizes what unfolded when the people of Israel reached the land of Canaan. Remember, the word of God tells us that God promised their fathers that he was going to give them the land of Canaan. And then here we find a summary of what happened the moment the people of God experienced the blessing of God in the land of Canaan. This is up just before the death of Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of God. And then here we see the way in which the people of Israel responded to the faithfulness and the love and the promises, the fulfillment of the promises of the Lord. And then I want us to focus on two things this morning. First of all, I want us to talk about the way in which God reminded his people of his unwavering faithfulness to the covenant, even in the face of their unfaithfulness. And I also want us to talk about how the people of God responded when God reminded them about their faithfulness. And my theme for this sermon is that the goodness of the Lord leads us to repentance. So on my first point, as we look on how God reminded the people of Israel about his faithfulness, You can see here in chapter 2, the Bible tells us that our text immediately opens up with the message from the angel of God who visited the people of Israel when they were in the land of Canaan. The Bible tells us that the angel of the Lord came to the people. He had a message to bring to the people of God. God wanted to talk to the people that day. He wanted people to know that there was something special, something important they had to know. And then what is interesting to note in this passage here is that the way in which the angel of the Lord is described in this passage, you can see immediately that the Bible already tells about his divine nature, that this was not an ordinary angel. Most of the time we find this in scripture, that when the Bible tells us about the angel of the Lord, it speaks about the incarnate Christ. This was the Lord himself. The Lord came down to speak to his people. And the message that he was bearing on that day was the message of truth. It was the message that the people needed to hear on that day. And then the Bible tells us that he came, not just a messenger, but God himself came on that day. And then he wanted to remind the people of the Lord about his faithfulness, of all that he had done for them and their ancestors. Remember, these are the people whom God took out of Egypt, people who were in bondage, but then the Lord took them out. The Lord saved them and then he gave them deliverance. He saved their forefathers. He saved their ancestors. Even in the wilderness, God did so many miracles, did so many things with them. But then throughout scripture, as you read all the time when God was doing all these things, the people of God always forgot whatever God was doing for them. They took the love of God for granted, his mercy, his faithfulness for granted. Especially when you read from the books of Moses, you hear countless times the people of God complaining, and then they didn't see anything that the Lord was doing for them. And then we see exactly the same kind of thing that is happening in this chapter here. The Bible tells us that immediately when the people of the Lord reached the land of Canaan, they forgot all the instructions that the Lord gave them. We read just earlier on in the book of Numbers, chapter 33, the Lord gave them strict instructions. When you reach the land of Canaan, this is what you must do. This is what you ought to do. Drive out all the inhabitants of the land. Do not share the land with them, because the Lord knew that it was going to be a trap for them. They were not allowed to share the land with them or to do the only thing they were supposed to do was to expel all the people from the land and take over the land that the Lord has promised them. But then we see a direct disobedience happening here. The Bible tells us that when they reached the land of Canaan, they did drive out some of the people, but then not all of them. So these were a people who took the love of God, the faithfulness of God for granted. Now everything was easy. Now we have reached the promised land. But then they thought that maybe we don't have to listen to all that the Lord was saying. They had forgotten his faithfulness. The Bible tells us that the angel of God came to warn the people. Remember in the book of Numbers, the Bible says that God told the people that if you do not do this, I will destroy you. So God had the right here to come and judge his people for their wrongdoing, for their sinfulness, for not obeying his direct commands. But in the Bible tells us here that the angel came and he spoke with the people that day. He spoke with the people of Israel and he reminded them of all that God had done. He reminded them of all his faithfulness. He reminded them of all the goodness that he had done for them. And then he also showed them how that they forsook him, how that they chose not to listen to him. Instead of listening to the Lord, they chose to disobey him. The Bible tells us that in what they were doing, there were so many consequences, because we read in the Bible that failure to take out the inhabitants of Canaan led the people of Israel into the worship of false gods, the forsaking of the Lord their God. They ended up worshiping all kinds of Canaanite gods because of they refused to listen to the command that God gave them. There was a very good reason, a clear reason why God was telling the people to drive out all the inhabitants of the land. But then they chose not to listen to him. But then as we read this story, we are also reminded of what happens also in our lives today. Sometimes we read these stories when we think that maybe this is so distant, maybe it has nothing to do with us. But then as you read here, you see that the very same kind of thing that is happening here is the same kind of thing that is happening to you and I. We are not so different from the people of Israel when it comes to disobeying the Lord, when it comes to not doing exactly what the Lord asked us to do. Like the people of Israel, in the same way that they did not drive out all the inhabitants of the land, The Bible also tells us that you and I, even today, even though we confess our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we still live our lives, and then we still want to keep our habits, our addictions, and all whatsoever everything that is in our heart, that was in our heart before we came to Christ. And then the Lord is reminding us here today that all those kind of things, all these things that we keep in our lives will become a snare one day in our lives. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord said to the people, "Why have you done this?" It's like, in other words, they were trying to show us the way in which God felt about the reaction or the response of his people to his faithfulness. God was not happy about the way in which they were living. And then he said to them, "Why are you doing this?" They were breaking the heart of God, if I may put it like that. God was displeased with his people because of the way in which they were living in total disobedience. This is the same way in which God sees us when you and I live our lives today, disobeying him, not listening to him, and not doing exactly what he commands us in his word. Sometimes we take it for granted and just say, maybe God understands. But then God doesn't understand. God hates sin completely. He doesn't want us to live our lives. He doesn't want to be mixed up with sin in any way. And then God says, "Why are you doing this, my people? Why are you taking my love for granted? Why are you taking my faithfulness for granted?" They were showing ingratitude to the Lord, even though the Lord was faithful to them. There were so many instances in the Bible, in the Old Testament, especially in the books of Moses, where the people of God rebelled against the Lord. And the Lord could have destroyed them, but because of his love, he spared them. But then yet they continued living their lives against his commands. And the Lord says to them, "Why do you do this?" Maybe this is a question that will come to you this evening. Why are you doing that? Why do you continue to live your life like that, even after the Lord has shown you his kindness? Even after the Lord has shown you so much goodness in your life, but then why do you keep living your life in disobedience? This is one of the questions that maybe we should seriously consider. And this leads us to my second point, the response of God's people. And I want us to see how the people of the Lord here in this passage responded to the message of the Lord. Verse 4, let me read verse 4 again. "When the angel of the Lord had spoken these things to all the Israelites, the people wept aloud, and they called that place Bochim. There they offered sacrifices to the Lord." One thing that we need to understand here is that whenever God speaks his word to us, we always have to respond. There is no way that we can just ignore and be indifferent to his word. It's either you respond in faith or you respond in unbelief. But then definitely you have to make a response to the word of God. And then here we see people of God, people who have been living a life of disobedience. After listening to the word of God, after listening to the message that God had brought to them that day, the Bible tells us that they remembered the faithfulness of God. They remember all the things that the Lord had done for them. And then the Bible tells us that on that day, they wept because of their sins. And then weeping was a sign to show their repentance, because they remembered that all that the Lord was saying about us was true. And then all that God was saying about himself also is true. God has been so faithful to us. The Lord has been so good to us. And what have we done? We have responded in unbelief, in disobedience. And the Bible tells us that day that when they listened to the word of God, they repented. And then you can see here that this was the work of the Holy Spirit working in their hearts. Because if you look at it, sinful men, sinful people, they are stubborn. People, unless the Spirit of God works in our hearts, there is no way that we can repent from our sins. The only way for us to repent from our sins is when the Spirit of God works in our hearts to lead us back to God himself. The Bible says here, they remembered all the goodness of the Lord. They remembered all that God had done for them. And then they turned to God. And then they wept that day. They wept because they realized that, "God, we have been unfaithful to you. We have not loved you enough. We have not been faithful to you in any way." If I may ask you this question, do you weep for your sin? Whenever you remember all the goodness that the Lord shows you, whenever you read the word of God, whenever God reminds you of all your shortcomings, and when he gives you the promise of forgiveness, when he tells you about the love he has for you, does it touch your heart? Do you weep for your sins and your shortcomings? Or does it really do anything in your heart? Here we see a people who were moved by what God said to them. And then they responded by repentance. And it is clear from this passage here that the goodness of the Lord leads his people to repentance. After the Lord has shown them all the greatness, all the good deeds that he had done for them, the Bible says that they responded in faith and they responded by repenting and they turned back to him. And the Bible also tells us here that the same people that we read in these verses, the Bible says that they served the Lord with all their hearts until the death of Joshua and all the elders who came before them, who came after them. So you can see that this was not just a pretense, but then this is a people who listened to the word of God and their hearts were changed and they remembered their sins and they said, God, we want to serve you. We want to live our lives for you. We no longer want to enjoy the pleasures of this world, but we want to come to you. We want to cling to you. If you look at the way in which we live these days, even Christians in many churches, people who confess to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are so concerned about what happens in this world. We're so concerned about the pleasures of this world. And then we have forgotten the love and the mercy, the forgiveness of sin. We have forgotten the promises that God has made. We have even forgotten about the fact that God gave us the greatest love of all by sending us his son, Jesus Christ. And we live our lives every day as if Christ never died for our sins. We live our lives every day as if we are not even children of God. There's no difference between so many Christians out there and the world, because the only difference is that some of us, we take our Bibles and go to church on Sundays, but then the way in which we live our lives is similar to the way in which the world lives. But then I can encourage you this evening to look at all that the Lord has done for you, all the blessings, all the promises that God has given you. It should lead you to God himself. Remember all the goodness that God has shown you. Remember everything that he has done. Turn to him in repentance. Start living your life for him. The Bible tells us that you and I, it's difficult, it's impossible for you and I to live our lives in the way, in order to please God. But then through the power of the Holy Spirit, it is possible. When you and I depend on the Spirit of God, the Bible tells us he can lead us back to him. He can work in our repentance, in our hearts. Sometimes, yes, people feel guilty about their sins, but then the guiltlessness does not always lead us back to God, but then only true repentance through the working of the Spirit leads us to God himself. Sometimes we feel guilty and yet we go back doing the very same kind of things that God hates. But then today I want us to respond in a similar way, the way in which the children of the people of Israel responded, to respond to God by faith and say, God, forgive me. God, I want to live my life for you. Thank you for all that you have done for me. I want you to remember all the goodness that he has done for you. Even though when we read in the same chapter, if you read from verse 10 tells us that after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up that did not know the Lord, know what he had done for Israel. So this is the same generation that we're going to read throughout the rest of the book of Joshua. But then here we can appreciate what happened in this few verses. There was repentance. There was remorse. The people of God listened to the word of God and they responded to God in faith. And this is the message that God is bringing home to us tonight, that you and I, when we remember all that the Lord has done, when we remember his faithfulness, it should cause us to turn away from sin. It should cause us to turn away from living a life of ungratefulness, of ingratitude. It should lead us back to the Lord. So if you look at your life today, all your sins and all your shortcomings, are you weeping for your sins? Or are you living your life continuing in disobedience? Does the faithfulness of God always lead you to repentance? When you hear the word of God preached every Sunday, does it touch your heart? Does it cause you to repent from your sins? Does it cause you to want to love the Lord more? Does it remind you of all that the Lord has done? But remember, if we are going to be a true church of God, if you and I are going to be true believers, one of the things that we need to do is that you and I must live a life of repentance daily. You and I must always go back to God. Whenever, even if we have sinned against the Lord, we should always remember all the promises that God has given us. We should always turn to Him in repentance. We should trust in the Lord with all our hearts. And the Lord says He will drive all the sins, everything that is in our hearts that is not supposed to be there. Through His Spirit, God will lead us back to Himself. Amen. Let us sing from Psalm 95. We're going to sing stanza 1, 4, and 5, and then I will lead you in prayer. God, we humbly come before you this evening. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, we acknowledge you as the Lord, the God of our lives tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us your word that we may live by it. Father, we acknowledge all our sinfulness before you. You know our hearts. You know everything about us. You know us better than we know ourselves, Lord. Father, we acknowledge all this sinfulness before you, and we ask that you may forgive us, Lord. And we acknowledge that we are not so different from the people of Israel who were ungrateful, who were disobedient to your word. But Father, we pray and ask that you may lead us into repentance, that you may work in our hearts by your Spirit, Lord. Father, we pray that you may forgive us our sins, Lord, and that you may help us, O God, that we may always remember all your faithfulness, all the goodness that you do for us. Father, teach us to live our lives for for you, that we may live a life that is that glorifies you in everything that we do. Father, we pray for every individual in this place, whatever struggle we might be going through. Father, we pray that your spirit may work in our hearts, God, to produce your righteousness in us, Lord. Father, we pray and ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now sing our confession of faith, and then after that we will take the collection, and then we will sing the final hymn, Psalm 138, verses 1 and 4.
Thank you.
receive the Lord's blessing and depart in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.